Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B. Today's guest is Donovan Carrasco, 10 years of combination experience, a backstep firefighter for Cedar Park Fire Department in Texas, creator and founder for Coyote Fire Training. Donovan believes in pride and that firefighters possess it in all aspects of the job. Pride in your appearance, attitude, work ethic, training, and camaraderie. During our conversation, Donovan also discussed why you need to make sure the organization you are a part of is the right fit for you and you alone to understand. With that, I present Mr. Donovan Carrasco.
All right. My name is Donovan Carrasco, and I got into the fire service by actually my current fire department. Cedar Park came to my school in high school, and there was a program called the TACS program, and kind of got us into like what the fire service is. I was able to do a ride along with a couple of stations and really learn on what being a firefighter was through some of these guys. It was a cool opportunity. And after that, it's been a full circle. I went through other departments to be a firefighter, and then I came back home, and it's been a neat process.
Okay. And for those that don't know, including myself, can you tell me or tell us a little bit about Cedar Park, the size, how many stations, things of that nature?
Yeah. So we're at 5 stations right now. We have 3 truck companies, or they're called Quints, and then we have 2 engines. We have a pretty big area. We have more of a modern type of construction. We're starting to get a lot of the mid-rises starting to come in as well. Those who are familiar like with the Colony, it's kind of looking like a smaller scale of the Colony. Heavy traffic, stuff like that. Population's pretty high. Just kind of a huge difference from the other department I came from. It's been neat to see that. I'm at station 1, the truck company over there. It's truck 1. It's also the spec ops. So it's been cool. It's been in my eyes, it's been an upgrade for me moving department. So it's been neat.
Okay. And what's your minimum staffing across the board?
Minimum staffing is 22 each 22. Day. And so we run 4896.
4896, 22. So how many on the truck?
On the truck at a time, there's 4.
Every single time?
Mm-hmm. We try to push for 4 always.
Okay.
So, and then my house, we overstaff. So sometimes we have 6, and we have a heavy rescue in-house that will just staff that. Once we're overstaffed, we'll put 2 on the heavy rescue, and it'll run over there.
Okay. And the engines?
Engines have 4.
4 minimum as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. EMT basic or paramedic?
EMT basic.
Basics. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm assuming you have a battalion running out as
well?
Yeah,
1 battalion out of my house.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, and roughly call volume roughly? Doesn't have to be exact.
I would say my house is on the slower side. I would say maybe 6 a day, but the other houses are busy. Like they had last night was about 9 at 5 o'clock. So it's not as busy as other houses compared to other departments, but that's pretty busy for us. It ranges throughout the city.
Okay. All right. And so you mentioned you pretty much got into it because the fire department coming and visiting and probably talking to the students. What attracted you besides like, what was it? Was it the way they spoke about what they do? Was it how they looked? Was it, you know, like the way the truck looked? You know, everyone has different things that kind of allured them to the fire service.
Yeah. So I wanted to do something to give back to the community. I just wasn't sure on how to do that. Military was in the cards. My girlfriend, who's now my wife, did not want me to do that. Neither did my mom. So I wanted to make them happy at least. And I wanted to be a cop, but I wanted to do SWAT. And I found out they can't do SWAT immediately. So then I kind of started looking different paths. And then the fire department came up, and it was a neat experience to go do ride-alongs and experience it for myself, you know, not even listening to them about what the fire service was or is, It's they let me go into the truck. We ran code down the road, and man, that was it. Like it was, I was sold after that. It was a very neat experience. I still feel that experience today when I'm on the truck going code. It's awesome.
Okay. And so upon getting into the doors, like your first day there, was it everything you thought it would be, or was it different?
I would say both. I would say the fires were not as frequent as I thought that there would be, you know. So that was probably a big like eye opener. But everything else is the same, you know, like the brother and sister hood is the same. Like it's everything that they described it to be. You know, just being as far as like what was taught to me, as far as like what the fire department was and is, you know, like it's the same. It's definitely the same to me. It's the same feeling that they said it was going to be. So I would say the fires is probably the biggest difference that I wasn't expecting. That was
Okay.
probably the biggest one.
Okay. And so did you try to seek out the members who you wanted to kind of be like? And is it so it's kind of like a two-part question. Did you seek out the members you wanted to be like? And was it kind of eye-opening? Because we all have them, seeing the members that are just kind of nonchalant. They don't really want to train much.
I'll tell you my whole kind of career path. So the first fire department I started, it wasn't what I was I guess wanting. It was very kind of relaxed. So like you come in, you check the truck, and then you take a nap. Like that was the culture there. Then we had a pretty gnarly fire there. Like a smoke explosion ended up happening. It made like kind of like the close call type stuff. That one was my eye opener of how there was more to the fire service, you know. So went to another department that was gung ho about training after that fire. After being at that department, I was gung ho with being wanting to train, stuff like that, you know. That's why I started my own little company to do this training, you know. So I seeked as much training as I could, as I possibly could. I found mentors along the way. Going to the Joey D conference, I found mentors along the way. Boogie Down Truck, OSTA, all those guys are mentors of mine. Once that happened, I would say it really started changing paths into my career on what the fire service was. And I was when I say was as far as like the time at that time, I didn't know what the fire service was. So now I know what the fire service is now and what it's growing to be, and you know what passion we can spread to others instead of just saying, hey, we can pick up a broomstick, stuff like that, right? So going through two other departments before coming to this department was a huge eye opener, and it changed the paths of my career several times. So yeah, I mean, yeah, to answer your question, yes, there were mentors that I looked up to and still look up to. And then there's definitely some guys that I learned from how not to carry yourself as a firefighter and how not to carry yourself as a leader. You know, I've learned something from everyone, if it's good or bad.
And with that being said, with an individual such as yourself that's new to the service coming in, how easy is it for a new person to come into a department that's culture is kind of like, hey, yeah, we do like what I like to explain as we do the bare minimum, and then after that, it's like we're on coast mode. And it's very easy for that new individual to come in and see that and go, hey, like, hey, this is it. This is the jam of how we do things. And right there, you know, complacency sets in and they never really get to realize that they're actually not doing it the right way.
I would say being the new guy at this current department, I would say I've identified that. I have definitely identified that with some house and some stations, but I do have a good supportive group. So something that's important to me and in this department is that we have a cadre. And it's a training cadre, And that's been a huge saving grace and a huge backbone for me because, feeling outnumbered, like what you're saying with the complacency and everyone just rolls with that and then you're outnumbered to where everyone's complacent. Having this backbone of these cadre members and just, helping me fight that good fight has been a huge help. So yes, I've identified some type of complacency, but they've allowed me to help with that complacency with running drills and stuff like that. So that's been a cool process, and not coming into a department being brand new and, being overbearing and overwhelming to people, just kind of like easing into it, showing some things that we can work on just step by step. So I would say that's been a huge help.
That's awesome. Okay. That's awesome. So I'm going to ask you a question here. What is your definition of professionalism?
Professionalism, I would say in the fire service, I would say being a professional badass is my thing of professionalism. I think it's knowing when to flip a switch to be the, gung-ho, quote unquote, aggressive fireman when it comes to the fire stuff, but also sharing that same type of urgency and compassion to medical calls. I know people don't like to hear about medical calls, but like we can't just be happy going down the road, lights and sirens, blaring the horn when we get fire calls. We have to have the same type of passion for these people who called us on possibly the worst day of their life. So professionalism, I think, goes with both ways. If you're able to show compassion with both sides of your job, medical and fire, and do it efficiently, that's professionalism. That's my definition of professionalism. It's not just throwing ladders and forcing doors. You should be able to take vitals and have patient care and know how to speak to someone when they're having a rough time.
Okay, I love it. I love it. Awesome. All right. With that being said, what does the term aggressive mean to you?
Aggressive for me is just doing the job you're called to do when it comes to fire. I know aggressive is a bad term in some departments, but I don't like having any other term to show to what means to me to be a firefighter. I'm aggressive. When I say aggressive, is I'm here to throw ladders. If I'm off the truck, I'm throwing ladders. I have my tools ready, right? I'm not going to be walking to be getting the ladder to the window. I'm not going to be doing that stuff. I have an aggressive urgency to get the task done. This doesn't mean that I'm going into unsafe conditions. This doesn't mean I'm doing unsafe, skills. That's not what it means. It means that I'm here to get this job done. A quote that sticks with me is Ray McCormick said is be the company that everybody wants you to be. Be the company when you show up, everyone's relaxed. Everyone's like, oh man, this company's here. That's my sense of being aggressive. I'm here, like in Step Brothers, I'm here to fuck shit up, right? But essentially, doing it professionally. I'm here because I'm here, I'm ready, and I'm ready to go. I'm efficient with my skills and don't get in my way, right? If you tell me to go throw a ladder, I'm off. I'm a dog off the leash. You got it. I'm getting it done. It's not going to be lollygagging for me. So that's my term of aggressive.
Okay. I can't refute that. I mean, that's awesome. All right.
You.
Let's see here. When for you, your opinion, when it comes to pride, what's your take on that?
Pride is having, is being, I would say, a couple ways. I'm gonna say a couple ways. One way of pride, I would say, is almost essentially being happy to represent your department is one path, right? Not being a timid where you go to a training conference and you're kind of hesitant on what your department is. That's being that's and I've had that. Like, oh yeah, I'm from here. Being at this department, I have a sense of pride to show and tell people where I'm from. Right, being happy with the department that you work for is being prideful and representing it well. So that's one route, right? I would say another route is as far as like you're assigned to this department, you're assigned to this house, and having that pride in your house. Me with pride right now is if you don't have that pride for your own house, you're not going to want to represent it well, right? You're just going to come up to the assignment just to fulfill the skill. just because you get paid to do it. If you're representing this house and this house alone and your crew, and you have pride to show everyone that this crew is the crew that everyone wants to have at the fire scene, I think it's a huge change of a trajectory of where you're going to start doing your skills. You know, and I say that because I see people who don't have a lot of pride in their house. They come in, they collect a paycheck, they don't represent their house well, they don't represent their company well. They're just there to collect a paycheck. They don't care if it's, you know, engine seven's ladder, if it's truck three's ladder. You know, they don't care about that. They're just there to collect a paycheck. So the pride comes into having your house, you know, represented well to, like, back what I said, mess stuff up, you know, fuck shit up here to, you know, throw the ladders, you know. And then another route is having pride in the house, right? The recent post that I put out is having that pride in your house, decorating your house, you know, stuff like that. Make it to where it is your house. Have pride in it. Be happy that you're a fireman or you're a firefighter, you know, whatever the case may be happy that you're there. You know, don't just come in and collect a paycheck. I think that's a huge misconception of the fire service right now.
Right. No, I would say you're right. We have too many individuals, and I think part of it too is the way certain organizations advertise that they're hiring. You know, like they put out the information they want people to know, but then we're also not letting them know what they're really getting into. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
10 days a month, the shift type schedule that they work. And I'm not saying like some of these aren't great, but that's not really the way it should be done. I think
No.
the best post so far that I have seen is, I'm not sure if you've seen it, the way Devin Craig is promoting
Yes.
his department.
Oh my goodness.
That's
Yeah.
how you do it.
He does an amazing job with it. Amazing job. Oh man, his posts are awesome. And the department alone, like just the way that they advertise it, it's all real. Like
Right.
you're not getting a salesman trying to sell you a lemon car here, you know, like it's legit. Like they mean it and they've made that. And I think that's awesome. A big thing, and that's a huge example. A big thing with me with that is that it's not too adminy. And I know that may not be like the best word. Like it's just
I
not adminy, you know, like,
yep, yep.
hey, we're here, we have this, you know. I've seen an advertisement for leather helmets. Like, come on. You know what I'm saying? Like
Yeah.
that's where it's at. You know, another department will show like a burn, a Connex. Like, hey, we have our own burn field. Like, you know, coming fresh out of the academy, if anyone says they have their own burn field, yeah, I'm in. Right? You know, like
Yeah.
I think that's an awesome example that you pointed out. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that way you're letting the individual know, because, you know, the public, the general public coming into this field, all they know is, okay, so you guys go to fires, you might run vehicle accidents, but some of them don't know, okay, you run a lot of medical calls. Oh, this is the stuff you're going to see. Certain stations, certain jurisdictions, you might become sleep deprived in a sense where you're not going to
Yeah.
really sleep because they're very busy. Your home life, work-life balance type things. Like we don't sell it the way it needs to be sold. And I think a lot of it stems from maybe if your PIO or your HR department is like, hey, well, we don't really want to let them know. You know, we'll try to let them figure it out as they come in.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
Yeah.
let's attract them. And then when they get here, we'll
Let's
go,
get them.
hey, well, this is how it really is.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Pretty much just car salesmen them, you know,
Yeah.
like you just it's there's definitely advertisements and posts, you know, like you can go on the website TCFP and look at several posts. Like having an 18-year-old does not care about retirement. I know it sounds weird, it sounds bad,
You're
you
right.
know, have that retirement, but that's not a seller for them. You know, like you're not going to attract people with, oh, we have, you know, this ratio to retirement. Oh, we have this plan for healthcare. You know, dependents are paid with, like, they don't care about that. You know, like, look at what they need to know, right? How many medical calls? How many fire calls, right? What do you offer for facilities? What do you offer for apparatus? What type of gear you have? You know, like what Devin Craig is doing exactly, you know, what the other departments are doing. That's how you need to get it. Like, it's, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. And one of my questions I wanted to ask you, because it's happening. It's happening with the way departments are robbing Peter to pay Paul. So With you switching departments, was it an easy decision to make? Because, like, obviously, you realized, hey, this culture, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I want to be a part of.
Yeah.
How easy or how difficult was it to make that switch?
So throughout my process in my other department, through the years, it was starting to get a little bit tough. So, like, I would say that it was like the last year I was doing nonstop training, just paying for training. I didn't even want to be at work. I just was fulfilling myself to go to different trainings, ride alongs. I was doing ride alongs, you know. So, yeah, the last year got kind of rough. With all that being rough, I had a great shift and I was on B shift. My shift alone was great. I enjoyed my shift. And I would say transitioning to a different department, it was somewhat easy because I love this department. It's been my dream department because I grew up in actually Cedar Park.
Okay.
So it was easy for me to do that because I've been wanting to work there for a while. What made it difficult was leaving my shift, my crew, that, you know, like I made friendships and made bonds. That was difficult for me to leave. Saying, you know, coming over here, starting over with different relationships and friendships, you know, stuff like that. That was difficult because I really enjoyed my crew. I really enjoyed my shift. You know, I had some great brothers over there. We still stay in contact, but that was probably the hardest thing. Now, moving to a different rank at my other department, you know, people have asked if it was difficult. It's been somewhat difficult because there's ways that I would run a shift when it comes to training, right? And not everybody has that same mindset. So that's been somewhat of an adjustment. It hasn't been like difficult because there's like, you know, pieces of shit everywhere, which I don't have. You know, it's just been difficult because I'm nonstop when it comes to training, you know, and I have some guys, I have a guy over there with me. His name's Cody Durrett. He keeps me kind of zen. Him and I kind of just bounce training off of each other and we're just nonstop. So it's been a transition, but it's been a good transition. I've enjoyed doing it.
So if I get this correct, you started at Cedar Park or you started somewhere else?
I started somewhere else.
You started somewhere else and it wasn't the
Yep.
right fit. And then so you left. What rank were you when you left?
So I left one. So the first, very first department I left was a firefighter. That's at Jollyville. Then the second department I was at Hutto. And when I left Hutto, I was a lieutenant.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then so
Yeah.
then when you left there to go back to Cedar Park, you pretty much you ended up where you always wanted to be,
Yeah.
but you were a different you were pretty much a lower rank having to work your way back up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
I'm
so
still lower. I'm still lower rank. Like right now, I'm still on probation. I got probation in April. Yeah.
and you
Yeah.
see that's the thing too. So not only are you switching organizations, granted, you're switching organizations because you need to do that for yourself internally. And
Yeah.
that's another thing I truly believe. Firemen can't understand why certain people are, well, why are you leaving? And
Yeah.
to me, the individual has to be, if the individual is not happy, then you're going to get that employee that's just there. Like, I'm
Yeah.
here. Whatever, like, yeah, I'm on the manpower pool, but they don't really want to be there,
Exactly.
which doesn't help. Like, because
No.
whether you work a 24 or 48, you know, you're going there pretty much to be the adult because you have responsibilities and bills, but you're not there to better yourself.
No.
You
And
know what I
it
mean?
affects the rest of the guys, you
That's
know?
right.
Like there are definitely some times where I kind of had to take a break. Like I was affecting the guys. I was starting to bring all the guys down, and I saw that. I identified that for myself, and that's not what I want. That's not what I wanted to be as an officer over there. So you know, I had to check myself and you know make the best of it. Nothing was guaranteed with Cedar Park, you know, so I can't just put all my eggs in one basket and be like, well, I'm going to Cedar Park. That's the wrong mindset to have, you know. I can't affect everybody else for a year. Just because I'm balling on this task right here doesn't make sense. So, you know, I checked myself, and if whatever happens is meant to be, you know. So, I checked myself, kept going as an officer, and then did a 180. You know, I didn't want to be the guy that collects a paycheck. I don't want to be the guy that's just there, you know, as a statue and just going through the motions. I didn't want that for me at work, and I didn't want that for me at home. You know, I wanted to be mentally sound at home. I got a 3-year-old little girl. you know, I want to be here present for her. I don't want to be this guy who's distant, or she, this guy who has these outbursts just because he's dealing with stuff at work. That's not what I wanted. So it took some time just to kind of process everything and figure out which path I wanted to do. But man, it's been a good transition both ways though.
Okay. And as I was alluding to earlier, not only did you switch departments, you also you're starting your way back, having to work your way back up. But I'm assuming that's really a no-brainer because it sounds like the current organization you're with now, it's everything that you want it to be. So I'm sure within no time, you'll be moving up those ranks.
I've had some guys ask me like, "Hey, are you promoting?" Man, I really didn't have the time to enjoy the back seat, and I'll say that to anyone. I really didn't have the time to enjoy the back seat. I go to all these classes, I go to all these trainings, and they're all firefighter skills, right? And I was so gung-ho on doing that. I found myself as an officer doing these skills that I wanted to try out so badly that I was taking that away from these firefighters, So, man, I think I'm gonna enjoy the back seat a little bit and see what happens, see where what happens in life. Maybe there's gonna be some spots as like a training officer somewhere else, maybe there's some spots training officer in my department, But man, I want to be a training officer is what I really would like to be as far as when moving up the ranks. I really want to do that.
Okay.
I love being on the rig, but I hate reports. I hate
Yeah.
reports, and I hate doing as far as the policy stuff. Like not as far as like policies, but like I hated being that bad guy when it comes to policies. Like, oh, you gotta wear the right shirt. It's like, come on, man, I just can't do that. I can't be that guy, the right shirts, the right hats, like it's tough. It's tough to do that, to be that guy, 'cause it's the fire service, like
Right.
enjoy it.
Right.
Enjoy it. Why does the hats and shirts matter? So it was tough. My old BC was on me a lot for my reports. I would rack up some reports and like, dude, I need you to do these reports. I'm like, that's my bad, man. That's my bad. And I go to my other department. And I see the same thing. Like I'll sit there and I'll be enjoying my coffee, and then you'll see this other officer getting caught up with their reports. I'm like, oh, see, it's the same thing here. So it is what it
Okay.
is, man.
Okay. One of the things that struck me that you said that I feel like isn't stressed enough or couldn't be stressed enough is the fact that you mentioned you've somewhat promoted too fast. You didn't get to enjoy your time as a firefighter. And I know I'm seeing that in my organization where certain individuals are being like rushed to, hey, go, once you get your class B, we're going to start showing you how to pump. And because they're short on drivers and they need drivers. And to me, it's like, why are we rushing these individuals, especially, and this is one of my pet peeves, especially someone that is brand spanking new to the fire service. I'm not talking about someone that was a volley for 5, 6 years somewhere else where they kind of understand the concept of pumping, but someone that just comes off the street or just graduated high school. And you're automatically going, all right, cool. You're checked off here. You're off probation. We're gonna get you pumping and behind the wheels to start driving. And it's like, why are we doing that? I understand that your department is short staffed, but that's not on that person to do that. To me, you are taking away the experience of them learning how it is to be
Yes,
a firefighter.
exactly. Yeah. There's several. Yeah. I'm gonna hit on several points there. I like that. So one point I would say is I do see that a lot over here. That is like you'll have the term young department, right? So like right now, Cedar Park, I would say like we have a lot of OGs. I call them OGs. They've been there for a while, and we're about to have a mass retirement. Like we're coming from like captains, battalions to assistant chiefs to D chief of retirements. Like we're about to lose a lot of OGs. So yes, there is still going to be promotions that happen within the department that may need to happen. But one thing that I don't like when it comes to promotions is just because this guy can or gal can test better. And dot their I's and cross their T's better than somebody else can who can perform their job well. Like I don't like that when it comes to, I think that's a huge error when it comes to the fire service as far as test taking. I think there should be a skills portion, just like to get your certification, there's a skills portion. I think the same thing should be done with promotional tests. You know, there should be different scenarios. And I'm not just saying like, oh, running command. You should be outside doing different scenarios. Let's see who can throw a ladder. Let's see who can force a door. Let's see who can pull a line. That's the scenarios I want to see, because you are, at the end of the day, a firefighter. So you should be able to perform these skills, right? So that's one path with this. Another path when it comes to promoting to youngs that I'm seeing is that departments will spend X amount of time, it's all hands on deck to get this person promoted. Okay, we need to get him into this class. Oh, we need to make sure that he signs up. We need to do this, right? Okay, boom. Test day is here. The person gets promoted, right? Then I see departments leave them. All right, we got it. We got someone in the seat. We're good. We'll move on to the next one. Now this person has no idea what they're doing, no leadership classes, no tactics classes. You know, you've let this person who's 20 years old to be in charge of three people, one of them who's been in the military and who was an officer in the military, and you let this 20-year-old, you know, that's a ticking time bomb itself. That's a huge personality conflict, you know, like it's for anyone, you know. So I see that's a huge lack with departments. There's not a lot of classes that facilitate to being a new officer at 20 years old, stuff like that. We're filling seats like that. We need to do, as a department, we need to do our best to make sure these people are fulfilling these skills. If not, then reach out, then out, hire out, you know, do test process outsource, you know, like whatever you need to do. There's ways to solve these things, and I think those are like kind of the big things on promotions. Like, that one hit me on the head right there.
No, I mean,
That
I'm a firm believer.
one.
Like, I'm going to use my department for example. The way we do promotions, like for right now, I'm studying for it formerly was the engineer's position, but now they reclassified it to lieutenant. So, you know, all right. You're pretty much a substitute teacher in a sense. I mean, yes, they're giving you a pay bump because your responsibilities are a lot different. Because when your officer's off, you slide over, somebody else comes up front. So I get it. You're playing substitute. What I don't like that what my organization does is to study for this test, they give you a list of chapters out of like three or four books, pretty thick. And it's like, all right, read these chapters. Figure out which questions we're going to ask. And you know what I mean? And then it's like, there's no basis to it. What I would like to see is, okay, this individual for Mooresville, for where I work, a lieutenant pretty much is a substitute teacher, but their main responsibility is that they are the driver. So how about you formulate a test where we have officer type questions and not off the wall officer type questions, questions that the officers out in the field are actually going to see. So you incorporate officer questions, of course, questions about pumping, questions about the truck, questions about different components of the truck. Like I get it, but don't, it's so wide, it's so vast. That it's like, how am I going to really retain this? And that's where I'm finding myself now. I'm going through each chapter. I purchase the books myself on my own dime so I can write in and highlight it, things like that. But I was talking to another individual that's probably going to take it, and he's like, bro, where do we start? And I'm like, I don't know. So I wish for my organization to set itself apart, how about for each rank that you're going to do a tested position, instead of going, you need to read, you know, in total 20 different chapters, you need to know 20 different SOPs, SOGs. How about we condense that where it's actual questions we're going to have out in the field?
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's a, I would relate that to same thing with policy tests. You know, like policies are still on promotional tests, right? But I don't think that it's right. Maybe I shouldn't say right. I don't think it's beneficial for the person who's taking a test, a policy test as a firefighter, or policy tests that to promote. Why not put the policies that matter to that position? You know, Like, why
Exactly.
not just narrow that down to where, like, I'm not going to need to know how to freaking land a helicopter as an officer. Like, it says in the policies, as an officer is in charge of doing X as a foot the helicopters, right? Then no, I don't need to know it. You know, like, throughout departments, like, why are we so gung-ho on you need to learn these policies that don't pertain to you, right? Rather than knowing the skills and the policies that do pertain to you. Like, why is that? Why can't we have both? You know, like, I don't understand that. And you make a really good point as far as, like, yeah, narrowing it down. I can't even read the instructions from an IKEA assembly. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you want me to read this chunk of a book? You know, like, my brain starts just going somewhere else, you know, like, it just doesn't work. I will read these words and then I daydream. Yeah, you know, like, I'm like, oh, right on. I don't even know what I read. I gotta read it for the fourth time, you know. So it's, yeah, I get it, man. It's difficult. It's
It's
difficult.
it's and for and but the thing is, you'll have some individuals who will excel and shine. Oh yeah, like they can read a
Yes.
manual that thick and retain the information, and
Yes.
they do well on the test. And so when it comes to me taking it, it's like, I'm lucky if I get a 50% out of
I'm
it. You
with
know what
you.
I mean?
Yes,
It's
sir.
like,
Yes.
I really wish that we would water it down where it's the questions go with the position,
Yes.
not the position above you, the position that you are striving to get. And I think if we can condense it, make it a 100-question test, but each question correlates to that position. And you're
Yeah.
not asking like, what is the metric formula of water? I'm sure that makes no sense, but we're asking, or better yet, what is the policy to get paper towels for the station? Like, who
Yeah,
cares? That
yes.
has nothing to do with our job.
Yeah.
It just, I'm, yeah. So,
It's crazy. It's crazy.
needless to say, I'm gonna give it my all. I am
Yeah.
fairly certain when I take it, I think they said maybe the end of January, early February. If I don't make the cut, that's fine. At least I can try to see what's on the test, because we are currently building for a our seventh station, so there'll be a lot more positions coming up. But
Awesome.
looking at what I'm studying, I'm like, there's no way I'm retaining all this. There's
No,
no way.
no. You'll read it and then you're going to forget it as soon as you take that test. You know,
Exactly.
what'd be cool is let's, I'm sure there's departments out there, you know, I reading kind of different policies that departments have. I'm sure this will happen eventually. But that new book, the new book that just hit the streets, the Book of Search, you know, I think it'd be
Yes.
neat to add that into some type of, like, you know, testing, like for the firefighter testing, or, you know, promotional testing, you know, books like that. You know, I think would be kind of neat to include into the process. You know, I think that should be a book. You know, watching some of the people who are taking the test, or who have taken the test for the promotional test, there's like six books, six officer tactic books.
Yes.
And I read a couple pages and I'm like, this tactic doesn't match up with this tactic. They're two different tactics. So, like, which one do you do?
Exactly.
You know, like,
Exactly.
it's crazy. It's just different stuff.
It's wild, man. It's wild.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I want to ask you, what are your thoughts? What do you think the fire service is doing good on, and what do you think they can improve on when it comes to recruitment and retention?
I would say the fire service is proactive with pay. You know, everyone's trying to compete with each other around this area. Everyone, it's a competition. So for the highest number right now, the Dallas area. Oh man, those numbers are wild. The numbers are wild over there. So just if you thought about moving to Texas, the
I will be visiting. I will be visiting here shortly. So, but okay, keep going, keep going.
Right. So yeah. So I would say that everyone's trying to stay competitive with pay as much as possible. The benefits, you know, I know these are things that we talked about before that doesn't make the fires or recruitment better, but for people like me, you know, transferring out to different departments, that's a huge recruitment process or benefit. Man, I would say it seems like when it comes to recruitment, it's building stations and apparatus. So when I go teach at the academy, and I'll listen to the different cadets who are applying everywhere. They'll say, "Oh, well, this place has X amount of stations, or this place gets brand new trucks." It's like, that's y'all's. That's it, huh? That's what's really getting you into this department is the stations and trucks. But it seems like it's working. Like over here, you'll have departments. Yes, there's a contract, but everyone is trying to get stations. Everyone's trying to get trucks, and it seems like that is what's an eye opener for these cadets. Like, oh, they're growing. It's like, all right. Well, I mean, not really. They're just adding more trucks, and then just adding another station next to another station. You know, so. I don't know. I mean, it's tough. It's tough when it comes to the fire service around over here, man. It's sometimes a political game more than a I would say recruitment. Like when I go to Long Island, it's a 180 of the fire service. It's amazing over there. I know that's all volunteers, but it's truly amazing as far as the culture goes over there. So it's different everywhere. It's different everywhere.
And I've said that in a couple other podcasts. And when I say it, I don't want, especially because, I am a northerner and I moved down south. So the southerners kind of feel a certain way when you mention that, but it's really a thing. The culture up north is different than the south. And you just mentioned it. So I'm sure where you're at and you go up north, it's totally eye-opening. You're like,
Oh my
wow,
goodness.
like, You like to me, one of the biggest things I saw when I was on a volunteer department, if a neighboring department had an apparatus that's going to be out for an extended period of time, whether it's, warranty work, maintenance, whatever, they got into an accident, whatever the case may be, it'd be nothing for them to reach out to like my volunteer organization and be like, hey, can we borrow your apparatus? We'll bring it back to you, usually in better shape than it was. And it's not like a knock saying, but they will take care of it. And they'll bring it back to you spick and it like everything's cleaned and dialed up. And so when I talked about that down here, they were like, we don't do that. And it's like, why not? Like it's brothers helping brothers. Like I
It's
what's the
weird.
deal?
It's
It's
super weird. And like I mentioned it before to a different box podcast is that these the fire conf like you go to a fire conference and man, it's weird. Like no one talks to each other. No one talks to each other. It's very like, well, I'm just standing in the back. Like, okay, well, eventually we have to do these skills together. So like, well, at least let's get to know each other. You know, like it's weird. It's super weird. And then when I go to a conference up there, like we're all just shooting the shit. We've never met each other. We're shooting the shit. We're already friends on Facebook. You know, like I met a good friend. His name's Rossi over there, and we're friends now. You know, we still stay in contact. Like it's Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. It's weird. It's a weird I don't know. It's hard to explain. I guess it's more neighbor feeling over there. Like, yeah,
Right.
we're neighbors. So like let's help each other out. Over here, it's like we're strictly business. We'll let you borrow a truck, but in return, we want a month's salary. Like, what are you talking about? You know, like it's weird.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's a thing, but it's just like it doesn't seem like it's a quick yes. It's a
Right.
lot of like, well, you know, I don't know. Like
Yeah. Well, we got to go see if our insurance is gonna. And it's like, bro, it should be the
Yeah.
same. It might be a different company. You might have certain policies different, but it's a fire department that's just borrowing a truck.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. I will say being at Cedar Park, I am now I'm exposed to having a firefighter's back more than I have been. Like it's been a pretty cool adjustment for that. Like, yeah, you still have your pieces of shit. That's anywhere, right?
Everywhere, right.
You know, but for the most part, there's a lot of good people in there who will have your back if needed. They take your kids into consideration, stuff like that. You know, like the whole Christmas and Christmas Eve, you know, that's everywhere, right? Consideration of people who had kids was phenomenal. It was awesome. Like everyone was like, all right, well, this guy has kids, you know, so let's help each other out. Everyone has each other's back for the most part. It's been really neat to be over there and be exposed to that.
That's awesome. That's awesome to see that. That's that brotherhood there. Not just, well, shit, you're out of luck. We're off and you're working. So yeah, sorry. And we got guys that'll do that. And it's like, damn, bro, like your kids are grown. They don't even want to hang with you anymore. How about you work a couple hours for the guy that's got a 3 or 4 year old? Like, what's the, yeah.
Yeah, so my captain actually did that for me just recently. He's like, "Hey, my kids are grown, they're out of the house, so I'll swap with you so you don't get held." And I was like, "What is this? Why are you being nice to me?" Why are you doing this? But it was cool. It was super neat. It was cool to have that.
That's
So
awesome.
I did have that in my other department on B shift, but it's nice to not have that as for one shift. It's throughout the department.
Right.
That's what's
Right.
cool. You go to a different house, a different shift, and they're the same way. It's like, oh man, this is cool. So that's, I
Gotcha.
would say, a big adjustment.
Okay. Love it. You kind of talked about it earlier, so I want to hit on it, man, because I can't preach this enough. Outside training. You mentioned earlier, when you're at your old organization, man, like you were literally just going to classes, taking classes to get that experience, to get away from the culture there, how complacent it was. Man, how important is outside training?
I like you said, I can't stress it enough, man. Not only it's a huge recharge, right? Not only are you getting knowledge, but it's a huge recharge to be around like-minded people. Doing a conference that you like at least once a year, if your department can send you, if you can financially do it, right? If you can't, look for another conference. If you can't look for a conference, what I would stress is doing ride-alongs. Doing ride-alongs at departments who have good culture and you know about their culture, right? Like they're known around the fire service. Don't just go to some random department and they say, "Oh yeah, our culture's great." And it's exactly what you're dealing with at your department. Go to a place where you're going to get recharged. So outside training, I would stress to anyone to go network. And I'm not saying network for political reasons. Network to get to know a brother, a sister, whoever that may be. Because once you network with like-minded people, I guarantee you will take over the world, is my phrase. You'll take over the world because you'll have these people in your back pocket to rely on for stuff that you may need. So that's what I've done at these conferences. I've met someone, at least one person who I still stay in contact to this day. And ask for them for advice, stuff like that. And we do the same thing. I would stress to anyone not only that you learn at conferences and outside training, but you network with a lot of people.
Fact. I mean, like I said, I can't stress it enough. I think the thing is, there are so many of them out there that you can choose. Definitely need to find the one that's going to fit within your budget. But the way I look at it too is, if you are a part of an organization that you're not getting many sets and reps, outside training is an awesome place to go get those sets and reps. Because the good thing that from what I've seen is, let's say you do a couple reps and some crews are tired, the instructor's ready to go and he's like, "Anybody want to go again?" Like, they're up for you to, yeah, sure. Like, go again. Get as many reps as you can. That's why the instructors are there.
Get your money's worth. Get your money's
Absolutely.
worth. You definitely see, and I know it's weird, like you'll hear people say, "Well, they're doing this conference, it's X amount of money." Well, I mean, they have to bring in instructors. They have to get all of the supplies to fulfill this training. Like OSTA, like their training is phenomenal, right? And I would recommend that to anyone. Joey D, you're paying an X amount of money. You can start to see who are hosting these conferences for either profit or they're trying to actually give back to the fire service. Like you can see the price. Like if you go to a class that's $300 for an 8 hour class versus a $300 conference that's 3 days. Let's start looking at the different, you know what I'm saying? Look at the different price, and that's one something I'll hit on is be cautious on these training groups who are saying that they're training groups. Myself, I don't consider myself as a training group. I'm here to bridge a gap. And that's something that's for me. I'm here to bridge a gap. I'm here to network with others so that I can bring people together when it comes to these trainings, right? When I do my trainings, I'm going to do as much as I can from sticker sales, hat sales, hoodie sales. That's where I'm going to get my money from to bring in these instructors. I'm not trying to make a profit off of the fire service. That's not what I'm trying to do. Sure, yes, you need to make a profit, whatever the case may be. I have not earned that. I have not earned the I should say, not respect, but as far as the experience, I don't have the experience to charge people. You know, like it's just not where I'm at. And that's what I tell a lot of people. Like, there's others who have earned that. There's others who are trying to make a dime off of the fire service. And there's others who are just trying to have their name known and they spur out the wrong information. So go into these outside training. They'll tell anyone, be cautious on where you go. Look at the prices. Make sure you're doing your research on these things. You know, just have some accredited names before you spend $800 or $1,000. I see that. I've been seeing that kind of a little bit. A lot of money floating around. Just be cautious of that.
Absolutely. Okay. And with that being said, how did Coyote Fire Training come about? What sparked that?
My last apartment, I really wanted to, like I said, bridge the gap. I saw that in our county that there was such a disconnect from this training that I've been going to. Like, I'll go seek out in Long Island or I'll seek out in, you know, North Carolina. I'll go to these trainings and there's no training in the area of where I'm at, you know, and I kind of identified that is that I want to start doing that for departments around the country, you know, facilitating basic training, going to their department and bringing the knowledge that's been shared with me and giving credit to those guys. And it's very basic stuff. Forcible entry ladders and search. That's my three that I stick with. I don't need to be good at everything. That's what I stick with. Here, as far as like Coyote Fire Training, I want to bridge a gap when I bring instructors to do lectures. You know, I don't need to do live fire as much as I would love to do live fire. I'm staying in my lane when it comes to that, right? I want to bring in for lectures, little small things that are reps for mental reps, physical reps, very low caliber type training. That I'm not here to try to make a dime off, right? I just want to get like some firehouse training within different departments, you know, and that's what I really want to do. Spark that flame that was there for some people, you know, whatever I can do to help. I just want to help with the fire service and different personnel and departments.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna hit on this too. Realistic training on a small budget. So what kind of training does your shift do at Cedar Park? You know, because I'm sure depending on if you're running calls, if you're busy, if you got public events you got to go to, but what are some of the small things that you guys kind of do to, you know, to get training in
Yeah,
on a shift?
I would say it's a company-based training. So if you're on an engine company, you should be good at pulling line, catching a hydrant, and maybe forcing a door, right? Depending on what your personnel size and stuff like that. And then truck company, same thing, ladders, you know, ladders, search. And then same thing, forcible entry. And then if you guys vent, whoever vents, get be able to vent. I think doing a company-based training is super important. You know, if you're on a rescue, you're familiar with extrication. You know, if they call you on that unit, you should be sound on these specific skills for that unit. And everyone's different, right? If you're on a quint, you may be expected to pull a line, whatever the case may be, whatever. You should still be efficient with these unit-based skills. So I think anyone who has a ladder should be throwing ladders. Get familiar with carrying different tools. You know, like there's so many things out there. You can put the tool here, you can put the tool there. And then people wait for a fire and they're like, oh, I want to try this out. No, this isn't the time to put a tool in a certain spot just because you saw it on Instagram the other day. Like you should have been training on that. Like it's time to move, right? Same thing with forced entry. Oh, I want to try this. We're not trying shit. You know, like let's move on. So it's I for me personally, I don't think there's an excuse for no training. You don't need a training field. You don't need to go outside, you know, if you can't afford it. There's stuff that you can do around the firehouse that will make you an efficient firefighter.
Okay, I love it. Love the answer. All right. When it comes to leadership, whether company officer, you're not there, and I say that respectfully, you're not there as far as chief officers, but regardless, what do you look for or what do you think that individual needs to be when it comes to those roles and being a leader?
Don't be a company man. And when I say company man, don't be a corporate office company man. That's what I mean. Just because you promote it doesn't mean you can lose that trust of your own people. I kind of see that with past officers, you know, like as soon as they got that badge, it was a complete difference. They were the very the yes man for the uppers, and that trust was lost. So remembering when you came, where you came from, and that this is still a fire service, this is still a brother and sisterhood, and this is not a corporate office. So don't lose that trust. And I think firefighters are smart. A lot of firefighters are smart enough to identify when you can trust someone and when it's a very, very walking on ice. So that's a big one. As soon as you lose that, your shift is going to shun you. Your shift will shun you. And no one is going to transfer to that house because you're there, because they know about your reputation. I would say trust is the root of what is needed for anything through leadership.
And for me, one of the biggest things is, all right, it's awesome you promoted. You know, you worked hard, you studied hard, you went through whatever hoops you had to get promoted, but you're still a firefighter as well. So where I see certain individuals, their mindset is giving them a false sense is because, all right, I am an officer now. My sole responsibility is to point and direct. In a sense, yes, but you should still be able to know how to perform those skills.
Absolutely. Dead on. I have a battalion chief who's going to the training, and he's just like that. He's ready to go. Like, he's ready to do skills. And my nickname for him is Fire Daddy, because he's just like eager to do to like fuck shit up. Like, he said, "Oh yeah, we'll probably have a fire, but I'll probably be inside." It's like, that is awesome. That's what I've been looking for, you know, to have a chief like that, especially in the training division, to have a chief like that ready and eager to go inside of a structure and just do work with the rest of us. That's awesome. And like what you said, yeah, he's there to perform skills when he when needs when it's needed. And I agree with that statement.
I mean, because it's like, all right, it's very easy to say, all right, I need you to force that door. But let's say your newest member is struggling on a sense, you know, with a technique. That's when you need to pause and go, hey, I see you're having issues. This is how to correct it. Because when they see that, hey, he can do it, it goes a long way where it's like, well, get through the door. And they can't do it, and they give it to you, or you take it over, and you also fumble, but eventually you get it. That's not a good look either. That just goes to show your skills are also lacking.
Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Yeah, I agree. That's awesome. That's a really good point.
And another thing that you mentioned earlier, you know, you say that. And I kind of like to ask the guests this at the end, but you've kind of alluded to it where it sounds like at some point in your career, becoming a training chief or training officer for a department or organization is where your passion is. I also would like the listeners to understand, don't just take that position. To me, the individual that's going to fill that spot, that is a very important role because that person sets the tone for the rest of the department when it comes to their training culture. If you take that position just because, well, I get a take-home vehicle, I work 8 to 5, 40 hours, you know,
Be home for
Monday
the
through Friday, be home
holidays.
for the holidays, those are all the wrong reasons to take the damn position. And it's another pet peeve. I don't like when departments will look at an individual and they'll offer it to them, knowing like to take on the role of a training position like that, you have to love to train. You have to be into the job, involved in the job. And you know, so many, I'm sure there are organizations out there that give it to the individual that just wants to get off shift work so they can be home and they have no care in the world for that position.
Or they'll offer it to that individual just because it's easy for them. This individual is not going to be coming up with different trainings to spend the budget. This individual is not going to come up with different stuff to, you know, with pushback within the department. He's going to be a yes man and go with the flow, you know, like, so maybe they do that for a strategic reason of their own. But yeah, it's often seen as the retirement spot. It
Yeah.
is often seen as a retirement spot. So we're excited within Cedar Park to see a huge transition. We have a huge transition of people going into the training division who are eager to do that. So it's going to be pretty neat, because looking at the other departments, yeah, it is a retirement spot, and people get so frustrated that they're not there as a department. We're like, we should be here, we need to be this, or the policy needs to be this. Like what you said, it is a huge and important spot for the training. That's what it revolves around. If the training is not there, how do you expect to do for anyone to do VES, VIS, whatever you want to call it, to perform that skill when it's not even in the training? How do you want to be like Stafford and all these well-known departments? You want to be like them, but we're not even training on it. It doesn't make sense. Like everyone just, I want, I want, I want. Well, then put in the work. Like that's, yeah, you hit that spot on.
I did forget to ask earlier too, when it comes to your department, what do you guys get on a first alarm assignment when it's within the Cedar Grove area? Oh, I'm sorry,
We,
Cedar Park, sorry.
you're good. I understand. We drop
All four,
all the houses
all
go.
five
Yeah.
houses.
So all five houses go. So what we have is a mutual agreement within the other departments that they'll actually cover our city, and we actually have a lot of units. So we the major city is Austin, right? They shed probably like 6 units to come to our area. So it's kind of neat. It's kind of cool. It's like kind of like the Gangs of New York. I don't know if you've seen the movie, like where all the fire departments come into the middle. It's kind of like where it's at, where we're at. So like this department could beat us, or we could beat them to their district, and vice versa. Like it's kind of neat. Like we drop a bunch of departments for an incident, and then once we start identifying who's there and who's needed, we'll start shedding to start covering district if needed.
Okay.
So it's pretty cool on what the county's doing. I would say some people don't like it. There's a very few people who don't like it, but I think it's very neat. Like this
Okay.
department's district is now your district, and over here, same thing. Like it's cool. It's open our fire potential. That's why I like it. I'm like, yeah, we have more potential of getting fires now, and also we're getting more calls, right? Like that's why some people don't like it. You always have those people like, why are we going over here? This is theirs. It's like, well, we have an agreement, So
Okay.
like, let's fulfill it. So it's pretty cool.
Okay. So if a residential structural box comes out, you're of course getting your three ladders and your two engines off the bat with your bat chief,
Off the bat.
and then you're also getting surrounding departments as well.
Yep. So it depends on whoever gets there first. So like if we shed 2 engines from Austin, or if we shed 2 engines from another department, Leander, whoever beats, they could beat Cedar Park there, and then they're there to play. And then Cedar Park sheds off to go cover district. Yep. Or vice versa. So like if we beat Leander there, then Leander's there to cover district. So like it's a huge thing. Once you start hearing like units on the radio, like, oh, on scene, you're like, gosh, damn it. We're
Okay.
not even writ. We can't even like go to the fire now. They're gonna cancel.
Gotcha. Okay. That's it. Like I said, I always like to ask because it's always interesting to hear how different departments do different things.
It's pretty cool. The Chiefs did a pretty good job coming to an agreement and providing the best customer service. I think that's huge. It's huge in my book. For chiefs and departments to kind of let the egos go to side, and we all kind of work amongst each other that you would have never thought you'd be working with, and we're coming together to knock out this task. I think it's awesome. I think that's a turning point in our county to start doing that. I think it's great.
Okay. So I'm really not gonna ask, well, I'm still gonna ask it. So where would you like to see yourself retire and ha or hang it up before? Where would you like to see yourself before you retire as you're getting ready to hang it up?
Somewhere in training. I want to be somewhere in training. I want to have more of an effect with the different firefighters that come in and provide training that I've taken, that I've learned from others. And yeah, man, I really want to do that. I don't want there to be a time where I'm complaining about the skills when I could have done something about it. And that's what I want to do.
Okay. And when it comes to coyote fire training, just so the listeners that are listening, you know, some of them might be like officers, you know, training officers, training chiefs, whoever. What kind of training can you provide, and how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, so I provide more of like back to the basics. It's not Fire Academy basics, it's beyond the Fire Academy. So just getting honed into your craft. So forcible entry, ladders, and search. Those are my three that I stick with as of right now. And I'm passionate about those, and I want to help make a foundation for personnel and departments. I want them to have a plan on how to use these different skills, you know. So they can contact me on Instagram, Facebook. All my information's there, so they can get a hold of me there. I'm more than happy to come out and do some work with anyone who wants it.
And you will come to that, you will come to that
Yeah.
department's area.
Yeah,
Okay.
that's a big thing for me, is that I will go wherever I'm needed. I don't want to have people to where I have to host a conference and then people have to travel. I'll go wherever. Lodging and flight is the biggest thing that I ask for. And that's it. We'll do some good work.
Okay. All right. Well, Donovan, man, I really appreciate what you're doing. I know when I asked you, you're like, oh, we're like for real? And I'm like, yeah, for real. I'm like, let's do this, man. It's just, and you know, it was like the guests will be like, well, I've seen the catalog of people you had on, and I always tell a man, like, listen, everybody, regardless of your name, everybody has something that they want to contribute back to the fire service, you know? And you could just tell, you'll know those individuals by the way they have passion, how they speak, how they carry themselves. You know, you mentioned pride. Pride is a big thing. I wish more and more firefighters would have that sense of pride instead of just being as I had a former guest call, like, you don't just want to be a normal county or city employee. You want to be a firefighter. So I love the mentality that you have. I have
Thank
no
you.
doubt at some point when you're ready, you'll climb through the ranks through at Cedar Park and make it back to where you want to be. But man, continue being you, continue being genuine, and continue doing what you're doing for the fire service.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That means a lot to hear. I appreciate that.
I appreciate you, man. You have a great day.
Absolutely, you too.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.